Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Wednesday, March 27, 2019. Coming up this hour.
The Fed preaches patience as traders see rate cuts coming this year.
Patience is the way to go because you don't want to guess.
Plus, Mario Draghi warns about risk in Europe.
The risks to the outlook remain tilted to the downside.
And Boeing 737 MAX jet faces fresh concerns.
Attorney General William Barr is set to release his report on Special Counsel Mueller's probe in weeks, not months. I'm Michael Barr. That story and more straight ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. A deal was struck just as the season's about to begin. The Mets and Jacob DeGrom, 5 years, $137.5 million. The Islanders were shut out in Columbus.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning. I'm Karen Moscow.
I'm Nathan Hager. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by Sector Spider ETFs. Why buy a single stock when you can invest in the entire sector? Visit sectorspdrs.com or call 1-866-SECTOR-ETF.
And global stocks are lower this morning. It is 6:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. And right now, U.S. stock index futures are lower to little changed. S&P futures down 2 points. Dow futures down 43 now. And NASDAQ futures little changed. The DAX in Germany is down 0.33%. The CAC in Paris down about the same. And the FTSE 100 is down about 0.25%. 10-year Treasury up 17/32nds, yield 2.36%. Yield on the 2-year, 2.18%. NYMEX crude oil down 0.6% or 33 cents to $59.60 a barrel. And COMEX gold up 0.1%, up $2.40 to $13.2380 an ounce. The euro at 1.1279 to the dollar. Nathan.
Karen, traders are now pricing in a rate cut from the Federal Reserve this year after recent data showing weakness from housing to retail and consumer sentiment. San Francisco Fed President Mary Daly is the latest to weigh in on the uncertainty.
Patience is the way to go because you don't want to guess that we need to do more or guess that we need to do less. You just want to be patient and look at the data and see how it emerges.
And we're also hearing from Boston Fed President Eric Rosengren.
We've had a lull in the economy in the United States, but we're not expecting it to persist. But that's our baseline forecast, and the risk is that both slowing in China and slowing in Europe and relatively weak Japan all imply that some of the global risks are a little heightened relative to what they are at other times.
And meanwhile, President Trump's latest nominee to the Fed wants the central bank to cut rates immediately. Bloomberg's John Tucker joins us live with details. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Nate. Stephen Moore tells the New York Times the Fed should immediately reverse course and lower interest rates by 0.5 percentage point. He also says he wouldn't be a sycophant for President Trump if nominated and confirmed, and that he regrets previous remarks calling for Fed Chairman Jerome Powell to resign. Moore is a visiting fellow at the Heritage Foundation, a longtime supporter of the president. John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
John, thank you. Mario Draghi is weighing in on the euro area slowdown. The European Central Bank president spoke moments ago at a conference in Frankfurt.
The risks to the outlook remain tilted to the downside. The monetary policy measures we took at the last Governing Council meeting reflect this assessment.
President Draghi says low inflation continues to warrant monetary policy that includes negative interest rates.
The U.S. and China resume high-level trade talks in Beijing tomorrow. Trade Representative Robert Lighthizer says he wants a deal, but is not necessarily hopeful one will happen. Myron Brilliant is head of international affairs at the U.S. Chamber of Commerce.
The right energy tone is being set by the two governments. Now it's about getting it done, and there are still outstanding issues, but I think they're getting closer, and I think the next 2 weeks are going to be critical.
Lighthizer and Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin visit Beijing tomorrow, while Chinese Vice Premier Liu He heads to Washington next week.
Turning to corporate news now, Boeing is facing fresh challenges after China suspended a certificate of airworthiness for the 737 MAX jet. Bloomberg's Richard McCauley has details.
Boeing's own fix for the issue is not going to be enough to get it back in the air in China. Instead, Beijing authorities are going to have to review the changes that Boeing implements, and only after they're satisfied with those kind of reviews, then we can perhaps see 737 MAX back in China's skies once again.
Meanwhile, here in the U.S., a Southwest 737 MAX was forced to make an emergency landing due to engine trouble, and Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett reports.
A Southwest spokeswoman said the fault, quote, had absolutely no relation to the flight control issue that prompted American regulators to ground all 737 MAX aircraft. The FAA said the crew of Southwest Flight 8701 declared an emergency and landed safely in Orlando. The FAA says it is investigating the incident. The MAX aircraft was being flown to storage in Victorville, California, and only the pilots were on board. Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Charlie, thank you. And on Capitol Hill today, the 737 MAX receives more scrutiny as the Senate holds a hearing on government oversight of airline safety. Elisa Parenti has details from the Bloomberg 99.1 newsroom in Washington.
The heads of the National Transportation Safety Board and Federal Aviation Administration will testify at the hearing, which comes 2 weeks after the FAA grounded Boeing's MAX jets. A criminal investigation by the Justice Department is already underway, and the Transportation Department is conducting an audit of the FAA's 737 MAX approval process. In Washington, I'm Elisa Parenti, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Elisa, thank you. Apple in a legal fight with Qualcomm on several fronts, and we have new details on two cases. First, Apple won a patent battle over battery-saving technology. That issue is now settled. But in the other case, a judge is siding with Qualcomm. Bloomberg's Mark Gurman has more.
The impact here would be specifically likely on the iPhone 7 and iPhone 7 Plus, which are due to be discontinued probably this year or next anyways. But it still would have a multi-billion dollar impact on Apple if they had to stop selling the 7 and 7 Plus in the U.S.
Right now, shares of Apple are up 0.5% in early trading, while Qualcomm shares are down 0.5%.
Renault is aiming to restart merger talks with Nissan Motor. That's according to the Financial Times, which says Renault wants to create a bigger auto conglomerate that would then bid for Fiat Chrysler. It's got Fiat Chrysler shares up 3% in early trading.
And we have a deal in the healthcare industry. Centene has agreed to acquire WellCare Health Plans for $305 a share. The companies have similar businesses, with WellCare providing managed care for Medicaid, Medicare, and ACA plans. Shares of WellCare are up 20% in early trading at about $280 a share. And futures this morning extending their decline. Straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
Okay, Karen, thank you. 6:07 is the time now on Wall Street. Time to bring in Michael Barr to find out what more is going on around the world. Michael.
Thank you very much, Nathan. A Justice Department official says it will take Attorney General William Barr weeks, not months, to finish reviewing Special Counsel Robert Mueller's Russia investigation report and make a version available for the public. The official, who spoke on condition of anonymity, also said there were no plans for the department to give the report to the White House. Meanwhile, both Democrats and Republicans are calling for Barr to come before Congress. Bloomberg's Ed Baxter has the story.
Both sides, but for different reasons. Democratic Senator Richard Blumenthal.
I want to see the Mueller report, not the Barr summary, for all of the evidence and see how close it came to proof beyond a reasonable doubt.
And Republican Senator Lindsey Graham.
I want to make sure that information that should be protected for the good of the country is protected. I want as much information to the public as reasonably possible, as soon as possible, and I want Barr to come forward and answer questions.
Both sides are saying they don't want to make this political. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Britain's members of Parliament vote today on alternatives to Prime Minister Theresa May's defeated Brexit deal. Parliament preparing to vote on rival plans that could soften Britain's departure from the European Union or cancel it altogether. Brexit backers in May's Conservative Party signaled that they could shift and back her deal, but several said the Prime Minister would have to go. An unofficial ceasefire appears to be holding between Israel and Gaza's Hamas rulers, despite limited exchanges of fire. Schools reopened in southern Israel today after late-night rocket attacks from Gaza set off air raid sirens, breaking a day-long lull. All charges against actor Jussie Smollett, who'd been accused of staging a hate crime against himself in Chicago, were dropped. His attorneys hailed it as vindication, but angered top city officials who still are calling it a hoax. Chicago Mayor Rahm Emanuel called the surprise decision a whitewash of justice.
Mr. Smollett is still saying that he is innocent, still running down the Chicago Police Department. How dare him? How dare him?
Global News 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
All right, Michael, thank you. 6:09 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update with John Stashower.
Nathan, the Mets will open the season tomorrow in Washington, so Jacob deGrom will get right to work and try to start earning the $137.5 million the Mets will pay him over the next 5 years. The two sides beat the deadline that deGrom had imposed. New deal before opening day or no talks for the next 6 months. The Mets GM, Brody Van Wagenen.
I didn't feel that pressure. You know, I think I said when I first started and I said last summer, I felt like this franchise needed to sign Jacob deGrom to a long-term extension. He made it clear to us that he wanted to be a part of this franchise. So when people have mutual interest, hopefully you can see it to the finish line and everybody can sell it.
Worth noting, Van Wagenen and his previous job was deGrom's agent. The contract starts now, runs through 2023. There's a full no-trade clause. DeGrom can opt out after 22, and the Mets can pick up a sixth-year option in 2024. Makes DeGrom's friend and teammate Noah Syndergaard happy. He had openly questioned why there was no deal yet, and Syndergaard was in good spirits yesterday during the workout in Syracuse that he had complained about having to attend. Islanders in Columbus got shut out 4-0. They've been blanked three of the last five games. They're 3 points behind Washington. More importantly, they're tied with Pittsburgh for second, likely to play the Penguins in the playoffs of battling for home ice advantage. What happened to the Saints in the NFC Championship game won't happen again. The NFL voted 31-1, only the Bengals against, to start using replay for pass interference penalties that were called and perhaps shouldn't have been, and like the Saints-Rams game, were not called and should have been. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Nathan?
All right, John, thank you. And an Ohio man is perfect in his March Madness bracket. The NCAA says Greg Nigel of Columbus has correctly picked each game of the first two rounds of the tournament. League says the odds of a perfect bracket all the way through are 1 in 9.2 quintillion. Futures pointing lower now. S&P futures down 4.5 points. Dow futures down 70. NASDAQ futures down 6 points. The price of the 10-year Treasury up 17.30 seconds. The yield down to 2.36%. 2-year at 2.16%. This is Bloomberg. And it's coming up to 6:12 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by Audi. Don't let someone else drive off in the Audi model you've always wanted. Visit a tri-state Audi dealer to get behind the wheel of yours today.
Global news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. This update brought to you by Eisner Amper. The Qualified Opportunity Zone program provides significant tax benefits. To learn more, download a guide for real estate investors at EisnerAmper.com/QOFbook. And Bloomberg Daybreak is out on customer terminals, bringing you all the news you need to start your day. Let's get a check of the latest headlines with Hannah George at the Bloomberg Daybreak desk. Good morning, Hannah.
Good morning, Karen. President Trump's latest nominee to the Fed says the central bank should immediately cut rates by 50 basis points. Stephen Moore tells the New York Times he's not a dove, but may ruffle a few feathers if confirmed. Theresa May's beleaguered Brexit deal may be winning support, but the price could be the Prime Minister's job. Hardliners in her Conservative Party are signalling they could now back her plan. The ECB is ready to soften the impact of negative interest rates if they are found to harm the transmission of monetary policy. At the same time, President Mario Draghi says low inflation continues to warrant negative rates. And Renault is aiming to restart merger talks with Nissan Motor. That's according to the Financial Times, which says Renault wants to create a bigger auto conglomerate that would then bid for Fiat Chrysler. For all the news you need to start your day, check out Daybreak on your mobile phone on the Bloomberg Anywhere app. Karen.
All right, Hannah, thank you. We are watching this headline crossing the Bloomberg. Southwest Airlines cutting its forecast for first quarter capacity, this following the grounding of the Boeing 737 MAX jets. And we're watching Southwest shares in early trading as well. They're down about 2% right now. Futures this morning, meanwhile, are lower. They've been extending their declines this morning with S&P futures down about 5 points, Dow futures down 72, and NASDAQ futures down more than 5. The DAX in Germany is down about 0.25%. And that is a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael, good morning.
Good morning, Karen. A Justice Department official says Attorney General William Barr is planning to release his report on Special Counsel Robert Mueller's probe into President Trump in weeks, not months. The official says there are no plans at this time to share the Mueller report with the White House. The House failed to override President Trump's veto after both chambers of Congress sought to overturn his national emergency declaration to build more border wall. The vote was 248 to 181, with 14 Republicans voting with the Democrats to support the override. In the NHL, the Islanders lost. The Capitals were winners. In the NBA, the Celtics won. The Wizards lost. Global News 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts, more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, John.
Michael, thank you. It is 6:20 on Wall Street. We are live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. I'm John Tucker. This is Bloomberg Daybreak, being brought to you by Flexport. Say hello to Flexport and the operating system for global trade, combining cloud technology and analytics, logistics, infrastructure, and supply chain expertise. Learn more at flexport.com/OS. Well, we are all data dependent, and there's a lot of data to digest this week. We get an update today on the U.S. trade balance in 2018. For some perspective, it hit a 10-year high of $621 billion. A Bloomberg economist, Tim Mahidi, is here to answer the question, so what? Let's start with that trade deficit. And Mr. President Mahidi, if you were to use one metric to judge whether or not you were having a successful time as president, I would argue that the trade deficit is probably the last thing you pick.
You know, John, I think you'd be right. It's an interesting thing. There's really little control over it. I mean, we all like to think that there's, you can put tariffs on and things like that, but there are other economic forces, exchange rates, what the rest of the world is doing that make it difficult for you to have complete control over. So it is an interesting topic. It is an interesting metric to pick. We do at Bloomberg think that the trade deficit will be narrowing a little bit when the data comes out this morning. That's because the world is slowing. Exports are slowing a little bit. We had a pop in imports last month, so that's why we're thinking, okay, there'll be a little bit of slowing there, but the exports are going to slow more. That means a little bit of a narrowing in the trade deficit.
Right, as an explainer, the better an economy does in the United States, the more stuff we buy, the more that deficit goes up, right?
That's right, and that's absolutely right. But the economy's moderating. It was started moderating in the fourth quarter. There's an inventory overhang, meaning there's a lot of inventory still out there, and so we're buying less things. And then the economy, so that's going to hold down imports. But then the economy, the global economy, has been slowing quite rapidly, it looks like. It's just in certain parts of the world. So that means that the exports are actually going to come down, too. So it's really which one of those is going to win out, and our view is that exports will slow more than imports, which will narrow the deficit.
Give us a preview of GDP on an annualized basis. What is the expectation from you guys?
Sure. So Thursday, the third print of fourth quarter GDP comes down. We're expecting a significant downward revision from 2.6 to 2. And the reason is that consumption dropped out in the fourth quarter, it looks like. That was evidenced in the retail sales data. We expect, like we just said, a little bit less of exports, and then the construction data was weak for the housing market and residential investment. So you put those things together, we expect this downward revision in Q4. We expect 2018 to drop from 3.1 to around 2.9, and we're expecting the first quarter, for a variety of reasons, to be rather soft, with a rebound in the second quarter. But growth overall this year, we're expecting to be about 2.4%.
Okay, so how does this dovetail with, the dovish stance by Jerome Powell and company?
Sure. I mean, there's no question that from 2.9-ish, if we're right, to 2.4 is moderation, which means you don't need as many rate hikes. And the Fed has an even less optimistic view of growth in 2019, so that makes sense. I think we're a little bit more optimistic on this front, especially on the path of rate hikes in the second half. We could see a hike happening sometime around December, because 2.4, 2.1 is still above the trend estimate of growth, and there's still some maybe inflationary pressure in the pipeline from such a strong 2018. So we think that there could be some inflationary pressures building in the second half with a rate hike coming. That's different than the Fed, who sees no hikes for this year. So I think that's where the second half is going to play out, is on this inflation story.
Tim, always a pleasure. We appreciate it. Bloomberg U.S. economist Tim Mehidi. Again, we get to GDP for the fourth quarter, the revision, that is for tomorrow. And today, at updated figures on the trade balance, expect that at 8:30 Wall Street time. S&P futures right now are down 2 points. The Dow futures, 58 points lower. And the Nasdaq E-mini futures, down 2 points. And you are listening to Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thank you, John. It's 6:25 on Wall Street, and Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by National Realty, NRIA, developers of high-return income-producing properties for investor partners. See them at NRIA.net.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130. To Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 991. To Boston. Bloomberg 1061. To San Francisco. Bloomberg 960. To the country. Sirius XM Channel 119. And around the globe. The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It's 6:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We are just about 3 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. U.S. futures are lower following yesterday's 0.7% gain for the S&P 500. Treasuries are rising with a yield on the 10-year under 2.4%.
President Trump's nominee to the Federal Reserve is calling for a cut to interest rates immediately. We get the story live from Bloomberg's John Tucker. John.
Good morning, Nate. Stephen Moore, a longtime supporter of President Trump, who has previously called for the resignation of Fed Chair Jerome Powell, tells the New York Times the central bank should immediately reverse course and lower interest rates by 0.5 percentage point. Placing him on the board made the president's attempt to check Powell and head off further tightening of U.S. monetary policy. John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, John, thank you. ECB President Mario Draghi says risks to the euro area economy remain tilted to the downside.
The weakness in world trade has continued, which has significantly affected the manufacturing sector. Global goods import growth in January reached its lowest level since the Great Recession.
President Draghi says low inflation continues to warrant monetary policy that includes negative interest rates.
Here in the U.S., a Senate subcommittee hears from top air safety regulators and investigators today as lawmakers look into the grounding of Boeing's 737 MAX jet. Bloomberg's Bob Moon reports.
The acting head of the Federal Aviation Administration plans to tell the panel U.S. aviation regulators were directly involved in the review and approval of the anti-stall system of the 737 MAX aircraft, and the FAA has already reviewed Boeing's software fix. Aviation expert and former Marine pilot Steve Ganyard says pilot and public confidence are key.
The first step is to convince the pilots that fly this airplane that it's safe.
And every problem will be scrutinized, such as the 737 MAX being moved to storage yesterday when it had an engine problem near Orlando. Southwest says the emergency was not related to the cause of the MAX jet grounding. Bob Moon, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Bob, thank you. And Southwest Airlines is cutting its forecast for first quarter capacity following the grounding of Boeing 737 MAX jets. Shares of Southwest down 2% in early trading.
Yeah, we've got M&A news in the healthcare industry this morning. Centene has agreed to acquire WellCare Health Plans in a deal valued at $17 billion.
Right now, futures are little change to lower. S&P futures down about 3 points. Dow futures down 46. NASDAQ futures little change. The DAX in Germany is down 0.2%. CAC in Paris is down 0.3%. And the FTSE 100 is down 0.25%. 10-year Treasury up 14/32nds, yield 2.37%. And the yield on the 2-year at 2.18%. Straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
All right, thank you, Karen. It is 6:33 on Wall Street, and Michael Barr has a look at what's going on around the world. Michael.
Thank you very much, Nathan. Attorney General William Barr is planning to release his report on Robert Mueller's probe into President Trump in a matter of weeks, not months. According to a Justice Department official, Barr offered his timeline in a conversation with the Senate Judiciary Chairman Lindsey Graham. Democrats have been demanding the release of the special counsel's full report. Six House chairmen wrote Barr a letter giving him an April 2nd date to submit the full report to Congress. Britain's members of Parliament vote today on alternatives to Prime Minister Theresa May's defeated Brexit deal. Today in the Commons, MPs are voting on rival Brexit options, including a second referendum. Other options include a customs union and revoking Article 50, the clause in the European Union treaty the UK invoked to begin the process of leaving the EU. Chicago police are adamant actor Jussie Smollett staged a hate crime against himself. Still, all charges against Smollett were dropped yesterday. And angry Chicago Mayor Rahm Emanuel said Smollett used existing laws to try to help his career.
And he did this all in the name of self-promotion. And he used the laws of the hate crime legislation that all of us collectively over years have put on the books to stand up to be the values that embody what we believe in.
Smollett says he's been truthful since day one. New York's Rockland County has declared a state of emergency with 153 confirmed cases of measles in the last 6 months. County Executive Ed Day says they are taking the unprecedented step of banning unvaccinated children from all public places.
There will not be law enforcement or deputy sheriffs asking for your vaccination records. That is ridiculous. To repeat, that is not nor will it ever be the focus of this effort. However, if you are found to be in violation of this declaration, your case will be referred to the district attorney's office.
The disease was officially eliminated in the U.S. in 2000. Vice President Pence told a meeting of the National Space Council in Huntsville, Alabama, the administration has a goal of again putting a person on the moon within 5 years.
For more than 7 years without a viable human space launch program of our own, Russia has been charging the United States more than $80 million a seat every time an American astronaut travels to the International Space Station.
Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
All right, Michael, thank you. 6:35 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. Here's John Stashower.
Nathan, Jacob DeGrom knew now was the time to sign a long-term deal with the Mets. Coming off a brilliant Cy Young winning 1.70 ERA season, he's cashed in. He'll make $27.5 million a year for the next 5 years. That's what top pitchers make these days. The deal struck just before the deadline. DeGrom had said he'll be on the mound tomorrow in Washington with the season opener opposite Max Scherzer, a three-time Cy Young winner. At the stadium, it'll be Masahiro Tanaka for the Yankees facing the Orioles. Andrew Cashner. Looks like the Islanders will face Pittsburgh opening round of the playoffs. At stake now, who will have home ice advantage? The two teams are tied with five games to go. The Isles last night got shut out in Columbus 4-0. Wichita State and TCU won in the NIT. They're headed to the Garden for next week's semifinals. Call it the Saints rule, because clearly, had there not been the controversial finish in New Orleans in the NFC Championship game, the NFL would not have made the announcement it made last night at the owners' meetings. Replay will now be used for pass interference penalties. The commissioner is Roger Goodell.
You know, it wasn't able to correct something that we wanted to have corrected in the past. I think that, to me, it was the driving force ultimately at the end of the day. I think our clubs, including all our coaches, owners, and everyone else, realize that our job is to get these right, and we should use every available means to get them right.
The vote was 31-1, only the Bengals against it. It covers offensive and defensive interference and covers both calls made and, like what happened in New Orleans, calls that weren't made but clearly should have. Of course, had the Rams been flagged, the Saints would have almost certainly gone to the Super Bowl. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Nathan?
Thank you, John. It is 6:37 on Wall Street. As bond yields around the world fall, Germany today sold bunds with negative yields for the first time since 2016. Yields on German 10-year notes are currently at minus 0.05%. Meanwhile, in the U.S. today, we get data on the trade deficit due out at 8:30 a.m. Wall Street time. Bloomberg's Jeff Bellinger reports.
Economists surveyed by Bloomberg think the nation's trade deficit shrank in January. They say imports were likely down because companies overstocked imported goods in the last half of 2018, anticipating solid demand and a possible escalation of the trade war with China. The report is likely to show a modest increase in exports. Jeff Bellinger, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Jeff, thank you. 6:38 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Green Report. Here's Bob Moon.
Just weeks after Tesla started rolling out its Model 3 in Europe, the electric car maker has beaten the monthly sales record in its key Norwegian market by a wide margin. As many as 3,593 Model 3s have been registered so far in March, according to the independent website Tesla Stats. Even with a few days still left in the month, that's 65% more than a previous high set in March 2018 by Nissan's Leaf, Norway's most sold car last year. last year. Norway has the most electric cars per person in the world. Teslas are flowing into Norway as it steps up deliveries of the Model 3, a car designed to be more affordable than previous models. The rollout will be a test for Chief Executive Officer Elon Musk as he tries to make the company profitable and turn the page on a bumpy 2018. The country received what was likely its biggest shipment of Teslas earlier this month. Norway is the California-based company's fourth biggest market worldwide. That's the Bloomberg Green Business Report. I'm Bob Moon.
Bob, thank you. It is 6:39 on Wall Street.
The following is an editorial from Bloomberg Opinion.
When should modern Americans care about a law signed by President Ulysses S. Grant? When it causes deep environmental damage, deprives the Treasury of billions, practically gives away public lands, and hasn't been altered in 150 years. The law in question is the General Mining Act of 1872, which governs the harvesting of gold, silver, uranium, copper, zinc, and other minerals from federal lands. It was designed to propel westward advancement, so it exempted hard rock mines from federal royalties, set a top price of $5 per acre for land purchases, and gave mining precedence over grazing, forestry, and other uses. It made no provisions for safeguarding land and water. All this makes no sense today. Congress should finally impose a modest royalty on all large mines, write tougher environmental rules, and appropriate funds for reclamation and emergency cleanup. This editorial was written by the Bloomberg Opinion Editorial Board. I'm David Shipley. For more Bloomberg Opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPI and go on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
And you can hear Bloomberg Opinion editorials every weekday at this time. Futures pointed lower with S&P futures down 4.5 points, as are NASDAQ futures. Dow futures down 62 points. Price of the 10-year Treasury up 15 32nds. The yield at 2.37%. Two-year Treasuries at 2.18%. NYMEX crude down 43 cents at $59.52 a barrel. This is Daybreak. It's coming up to 6:41 on Wall Street. The special counsel investigation may be over, but he's given other investigations more to chew on. Bloomberg Washington reporter Kathleen Hunter joins us next with an update.
Global news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. It is 6:47 on Wall Street, and futures this morning are moving lower, extending their declines. We go to the First Word breaking news desk for today's morning call. Here's Bill Maloney. Bill, good morning.
And good morning, Karen. That's right. U.S. futures are under pressure right now, with Dow futures down 82 points, S&P's dropped 7, and NASDAQ futures also declined by 7. The U.S. 10-year yield sinks to 2.37%. Oil is also trading lower, while European markets are fading, led by losses in France and the U.K. Note that Germany sold bonds with a negative yield. That's the first time since 2016. And the Turkish lira overnight swap rate rises 670%. Back in the U.S. on the economic front, at 8:30, trade balance, and at 10 o'clock, the current account balance. Regarding earnings this morning, homebuilder Lennar missed by a penny, Paychex beat by a penny. And in deal news, Centene is buying WellCare for $17 billion in cash and stock. In other news, Southwest Airlines cut its forecast for Q1 capacity. And wrapping things up, Kinder Morgan was downgraded to neutral at Citigroup, while Papa John's was upgraded to hold over at Stiefel. Live from the First Break News Desk, I'm Bill Maloney. Karen?
All right, Bill, thank you. And you mentioned Southwest. Again, the shares are down about 2.6% right now in early trading. To hear live breaking news over your Bloomberg, type squawk on your terminal, S-Q-U-A-W-K. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, a Justice Department official says it will take Attorney General William Barr weeks, not months, to finish reviewing Special Counsel Robert Mueller's Russia investigation report and make a version available for the public. The official also said there were no plans for the department to give the report to the White House. Education Secretary Betsy DeVos appeared before the House Appropriations Subcommittee, where she defended more than $7 billion in proposed cuts to education programs. The cuts include eliminating $18 million in federal funding for the Special Olympics. In the NHL, the Islanders lost. The Capitals were winners. In the NBA, the Celtics won. The Wizards lost. Finally, from Daybreak on the Bloomberg, on this day in history in 1915, Mary Mellon, better known as Typhoid Mary, was submitting to a lifetime in quarantine. Mellon was a cook
who worked in kitchens across New York spreading the typhoid disease. She refused to believe that she was infected.
Uh-huh.
And 3,000 New Yorkers were infected in a 1907 outbreak she caused. Nathan police eventually tracked Mallon down, following her trail of contamination wherever she went.
Interesting. And I don't want to call this necessarily history repeating itself, but now we're hearing that the county north of New York City is barring kids from going outside with measles because there are more than 100 of them infected. He's worried about an outbreak as well.
In Rockland County, right?
Yeah, exactly. So interesting times.
History repeating itself, as you said.
Perhaps.
Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok, on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Michael, thank you. We are live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studios. We're at 6:50 on Wall Street. Time to check what's happening in D.C. Some of the top stories in our nation's capital include a Senate Commerce Subcommittee holding an airline safety hearing, the first hearing into Boeing 737 MAX jet. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo goes before two Capitol Hill committees today to testify about the budget, but could also face questions about hotspots like North Korea and the Middle East. And later this afternoon, President Trump awards a posthumous Medal of Honor to Army Staff Sergeant Thomas Atkins, who gave his life to save others from a suicide bomber in Iraq. Also making news this morning, the continuing investigations into the president, even with special counsel Robert Mueller's probe at an end. Bloomberg Washington reporter Kathleen Hunter joins me with more on that. And I guess we're not just talking about the investigations that Democrats have said they're going to continue. The special counsel probe itself spun off a number of lines of inquiry.
That's right. So there are continuing investigations, ongoing federal investigations, in both New York and Washington, and also a state probe in New York. And so I think that those are going to be interesting to watch. For example, a lot of the things that Michael Cohen, Trump's former lawyer and fixer, testified about on Capitol Hill a few weeks ago in terms of his allegations about illegal campaign contributions and who might have directed him to make those contributions, that is all housed in the Southern District of New York. And so those inquiries, we could see some additional developments out of those as well.
Now, of course, we've seen the summary from the attorney general on the special counsel report itself that found no collusion between the Trump campaign and Russia. I mean, do these continuing investigations in the Southern District of New York and in the Washington and Virginia area leave open that possibility, potentially, of continuing to pursue the line of inquiry of Russia collusion?
Certainly, yes. I mean, I think that a lot of the focus in the Michael Cohen case in particular and the circumstances surrounding that deals more with campaign contributions. There's also a separate investigation into whether or not the president's inaugural committee accepted illegal donations. So those things are a bit separate from Russia, but they certainly, you know, dovetail with it. And we could see, you know, additional, just because Mueller has said he's not going to charge anyone else in terms of his probe, doesn't mean that additional charges could be forthcoming from the other probes as well.
And as we've been hearing this morning, the attorney general says it could be weeks, not months, before he issues a fuller report on the Mueller investigation. Of course, Democrats have been demanding that Barr give a fuller accounting in less than a week. Where do things go from here?
Well, I think Democrats are going to certainly be keeping the pressure on Barr to act quickly. Certainly the fact that he's saying that it's going to be weeks and not months is something that I think they would be well received by Democrats. But at the same time, I think it may not be as quickly as Democrats would like to see it happen. And so I would imagine that Democrats are going to continue to press Barr to submit the report as soon as possible.
And in the meantime, President Trump, you know, has been running something of a victory lap here and is now seeming to pivot toward health care as an issue in 2020. Wonder how that could color the race coming forward. And, you know, given the fact that Republicans tried to act on health care in the past, it didn't work out so well for them politically. How could that play out?
Well, I think from a legislative standpoint, the fact that Democrats are now in control of the House means that any effort to, you know, roll back Obamacare in Congress is going to be DOA on Capitol Hill. However, you know, we know that the Trump administration is taking a legal route in terms of challenging Obamacare. And so I think that that is, you know, a possibility in terms of making some inroads in a, from a policy standpoint prior to the election. I think that from a political standpoint, I would imagine that Democrats are, you know, happy to campaign on this issue because there are aspects of Obamacare that are very popular at this point. And so I think that it's a tricky issue for Republicans to navigate right now, given that beyond their base, there is a fairly large support for Obamacare, at least for certain aspects of it. People like the ban on pre-existing conditions. People like the fact that kids are able to now stay on their parents' health care plans until they're 25. People don't want to lose that. And I think that's going to be an easy political case for Democrats to make.
Yeah. And as the Trump administration has sort of hardened its legal position and calling all of Obamacare unconstitutional, I mean, are we seeing any signs from the administration at this point that they have alternatives that they might be willing to put forward in the 2020 cycle?
Well, that's always been the tricky thing, right, is, you know, I think even Barack Obama would admit that Obamacare is perfect. But the tricky part has always been trying to figure out what the alternative would be. And Republicans for years now have been unable to settle on an alternative. And it doesn't look as though Trump has anything up his sleeve policy-wise in terms of that. So I think that that kind of begs the question of, again, when you're sort of saying you're campaigning against something that aspects of which are pretty popular, but don't necessarily have an alternative, I think that becomes a hard political sell.
Bloomberg Washington reporter Kathleen Hunter, thank you as always. Read more about these and other stories on Bloomberg.com or on the Bloomberg Terminal, and follow all the latest on Bloomberg Radio in Washington at Bloomberg 99.1 and 105.7 FM HD2. Karen.
Thanks, Nathan. It is 6:56 on Wall Street. It's time for the Bloomberg Small Business Report with John Tucker. Good morning, John.
And good morning, Karen. Small businesses and tech policy representative told a Senate Commerce Subcommittee that European Union and U.S. state privacy laws are putting them at a disadvantage in competing for business against big corporations. The small businesses are concerned about the EU's General Data Protection Regulation, California's new privacy law, and a growing number of other states introducing their own measures. The small companies are arguing it's too costly to comply with a patchwork of state and international privacy laws. The Senate Commerce, Manufacturing, Trade, and Consumer Protection Subcommittee Chair Jerry Moran argues the complexity being faced by small businesses shows why the U.S. now needs a federal consumer data privacy law that provides clarity in the increasingly complex regulatory environment. The lawmakers say they are identifying responsible federal privacy standards that provide clear and effective protections to consumers while aiming to also provide some regulatory certainty to small businesses. And that is today's Bloomberg Small Business Report, Karen.
All right, John, thank you. We continue to watch shares of Southwest Airlines this morning, moving lower, down about 2.5% in early trading. It lowered its first quarter capacity forecast to 1% from its prior expectation of 3.5% to 4%. The airliner saying it expects cancellations of about 9,400 flights from mid-February through March 31st due to weather and other unanticipated events. Southwest is not able to forecast the effect of Boeing 737 MAX 8 groundings beyond the first quarter. And Bloomberg Surveillance with Tom Keene and Jonathan Farrow is straight ahead. For Nathan Hager, I'm Karen Moscow, and this is Bloomberg.